Right now, we're joined by a baseball columnist for the New York Post, also an MLB Network insider. It's a very busy week for him. Joel Sherman is my guest. Joel, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Joel, great to have you back. I know with the deadline coming up, it's a very busy day for you, so I appreciate you making time. Before we get into specific teams and scenarios, generally speaking, Joel, as you talk to sources, what's your sense as to how the next week is going to play out? Do you expect some big moves?
Yeah, I expect big moves, but I would throw in a couple of caveats, Jim. Number one, I think this is as many significant moves as we've had pre the final week of the deadline, and the deadline's a week from today, as I could remember. The Quintana trade, the big trade where the Yankees get three guys in one deal. Seattle's already gotten David Phelps. I mean, there's been four or five significant deals with a week still left. The other thing is, like, what does this scramble of teams in the American League mean? The Rangers just kind of swept the series. They went from, hey, we should probably trade you Darvish, to we should probably keep you Darvish. Does that change again in the next few days? It's a very fluid, sensitive time, and things can move. And then the other situation is you have significant division leaders. And what's the pressure on significant division leaders? As we're sitting here today, Dodgers are up 10.5 games. The Nationals are up 12 games. The Astros are up 17 games. So for them, they do not have to make a trade, Jim, to get to October. They're thinking about what can we do to get through October, very much like the Indians and Cubs last year going out and getting Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman when they were in kind of like serious, similar dominant positions last year. They were not thinking about how do we get win a division. They were thinking, how do we win 11 games in October? And so I think that begins to move around guys like Zach Britton. Is he healthy? If he is, he becomes a big chip that multiple teams, Houston, the Dodgers, several others, will certainly be looking at down the stretch of this deadline. But again, it's sensitive. It's like the Rangers with Darvish. It's going to be like people are really going to focus on, like, what do you believe about Zach Britton? Because the last thing you can have happen to you is, hey, we just sent three or four big prospects to Baltimore. He started three times, broke down, had Tommy John surgery. We didn't get him this year, and we didn't get him next year, you know, which is he's a year and a half player. So I think this is a very sensitive time, and you could convince me with a week to go to the deadline. I realize this is a mouthful. You could convince me with a week to go to the deadline. This is going to be a very busy deadline.
Joel Sherman joining us.
That the scenarios are set up that it will not be.
Joel Sherman is my guest. Excuse me, Joel. There's a ton of good information in that. So let me just start with the L.A. Dodgers since I'm here in L.A. They've got the best record in baseball, but Clayton Kershaw goes back down with a back injury yesterday. You tweeted, Joel, just a few minutes ago that they're hopeful that he will be back in 4 to 6 weeks. That said, how worried are you if you're Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts right now?
Yeah, from what I understand, this is according to their initial medical reports, and I want to be cautious about saying that, their initial medical reports is this is not nearly as serious as the injury that cost Kershaw 9 weeks last year. I sense that they also probably see the positive in the negative, which is if you back off of him for 4 to 6 weeks and you get him back, let's make a date, September 5th. You've just pretty much changed him from a 220-inning pitcher this year to about 165, 170, 170, whatever number that's going to be in there. And probably in their truest desires, as long as Kershaw kind of gets back to being Clayton Kershaw over the last 3-4 weeks of the regular season, that works to his benefit because they're going to have to push him and rely upon him in October to try to win their first championship since 1988. And so there might actually be a blessing in this curse for them.
Joel Sherman joining us. All right, so he missed those 9 weeks last year, so maybe it's not as bad now as it was then. In addition, you have a piece up on NewYorkPost.com breaking down where Justin Verlander is right now. He's got an ERA, Joel, below 3 in his 2 starts since the All-Star break. It's not a huge sample size, but when you consider the fact that he has been better in the second half than the first half for each of the last 3 years, what do you think other teams make of where he is right now?
So I think the key thing there, Jim, is what are the Tigers thinking and what are they willing to do? I think that there would be great interest in Justin Verlander if the Tigers turned him. He's due $28 million both in 2018 and 2019. If he suddenly became an $18 million a year starter or a $20 million a year starter for those 2 years, I think the Tigers could reach into a couple of teams' better prospects because of the bulldog tenacity of Verlander. Let's not forget, he almost won the Cy Young last year. People always say he's not, you know, vintage Justin Verlander. And I'm like, I agree. But the guy who pitched last year and has pitched the second half of the last 3 seasons and started this one has been a very high-end starter with 15 or 16 career postseason starts where he's generally pitched well. He's the kind of guy I think teams would go ahead and take a gamble on, but they want the Tigers to make him a less expensive piece and or get less back in prospects. And it does not seem from the people I'm talking to that the Tigers are mentally there to do one or the other yet. And that's a dangerous place to be because where they are in their cycle, they're not really close to winning a championship right now. And this is maybe the last best moment to turn Justin Verlander into 3 or 4 pieces that help speed up that process. And I think they have to think seriously about how to manage that and get that done.
All right, so if they are willing to move him, can you see where the Dodgers might be interested in him?
I think that the Dodgers, if that number came down, would be interested. But from everything I've heard, Jim, you know, there again, I would just keep going back to the Dodgers know they are playing a minimum a division series in October pretty much now. You know, I guess they could blow a double-digit lead with 2 months left, but it's not common, not likely. They've got a great core even without Kershaw. You know, Jansen, Seager, Bellinger, Turner, you know, they're going to win 90-whatever-plus games. Colorado and Arizona probably aren't going to get there. So they know they're in a division series. So the thing is not just to get a starter, if that's what they focus on, but to get a starter that helps them get through October. And that's why I've heard that their focus was really on Yu Darvish, because he's a guy you could imagine if you have Kershaw, Darvish, Hill, Wood. Now you're talking about sending out pretty much a top starter every day, shortening games, and I think that's where their mindset's at. And everything I've heard on July 24th, and again, I want to be sensitive to July 24th, is Yu Darvish is not available right now. Rangers lose 3 in a row? Let's have another conversation in 3 days.
We're talking to Joel Sherman for a few more moments. Joel, what about this? What if he's not available right now, but what if all of a sudden Houston makes that phone call? Could you see any scenario where the Rangers would trade Darvish to the Astros, or would they be very reluctant to deal him to a divisional rival? And would the Astros then be reluctant to give the Rangers some of their prospects?
You know, it's funny, Jim. I wrote about just that scenario last weekend in the Post, and everyone who I talked to who know the principals involved well said they believe the two general managers would do it. But that once you go up to the business level ownership, the concern about the Rangers ownership business people handing the Astros their first championship ever when the Rangers have never won, if that's how it played out, that would be too scary, risky for them. And conversely, if the Astros turn out not to win and have handed 3 or 4 pieces that helped the Rangers kind of turn their fortunes back in a more positive direction to dominate the AL West or dominate Texas in the near future, that might be too dangerous for ownership. But I think the two general managers are wheeler dealers, and they would do it.
Can't let you go, Joel, without asking about the Yankees quickly. They're 2.5 games out of first in the AL East. They're currently leading the wild card standings. What do you make of the trade that they made with the White Sox?
I really think that it was a good trade, Jim, because it dealt with multiple platforms for them. And let's see how quickly I could do this, because there is a lot to unbundle. They gave up a good prospect in Blake Rutherford, who was the key to the trade. But Blake Rutherford was at low A, and the Yankees, for what they've done in the last few years, feel like with Aaron Judge and Clint Frazier and Dustin Fowler and Aaron Hicks and Jorge Mateo playing, that they have indexed a real depth of outfield prospects who are young, some of whom are already thriving, like Judge and to some degree Frazier in the major leagues, and Aaron Hicks, by the way. So they have that. So that he was an expendable piece. The Yankees have a real rotation issue in 2017, but also 2018. Tanaka could be a free agent. Sabathia could be a free agent. Michael Pineda, who needed Tommy John surgery, wouldn't be back anyway, but he could have been a free agent. And now you start to think, how do you shorten a game when you have really big starting pitching issues? Well, you could add David Robinson and Tommy Conley to Chapman and Betances and Adam Warren. And by the way, if people haven't looked at it, go look at Chad Green's relief numbers in about 30 relief appearances this year. It's pretty dominant. And now you have five, six really dominant relief pitchers to shorten the game for the rest of this year, shorten it next year if you can't fix your rotation. And if you get to October, as we've seen, this is how you play. And, you know, you play an inning at a time. And I think the Yankees are almost lined up to play October baseball. And now the question is, can they get to October to unleash that style of play?
He is a baseball columnist for the New York Post, also an MLB Network insider. Joel Sherman all over it, and we're still a week away from the trade deadline. Joel, as I said at the very top, I know it's an extremely busy time for you, so it's great to have you back on. Thank you very much.
Jim, I always enjoy doing your show. Thanks for having me.
Crushed it as always, Joel. Very well done. Thank you. Great talking to you. Joel Sherman, he is all over everything.